Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. And, well, you know, it's about time that we had Heather Darling back on The Mountain Life. And unlike 5 years ago, Heather is now one of six certified functional medicine practitioners in this entire state. Heather Darling practices at the Park City Live Well Center, and she's joining us now to talk about, well, the certification process, first of all, and to discuss the underlying factors that influence every patient's experience of health and disease. It's really great to have you.
I have to explain one thing to Heather right away.
Okay.
Full disclosure, the green in my teeth is because of my GGS, my green glowing smoothie.
Good.
It's not that I have some sort of medical issue. So I saw her looking at me and kind of being like, do I say anything or do I just let him go on with green teeth?
Maybe you should have your breakfast before you go on air so this problem doesn't arise.
That wouldn't be any fun at all.
I think our functional medicine practitioner here would be very happy to see that you're drinking a green liquid.
Yes, and that it's not some bacterial disease going on that we'll have to identify.
So, Heather, you had been studying for a really long time, I know, for this big test that you took a couple months ago. But you were practicing functional medicine prior to that time. So talk about both sides of that equation.
Well, I started really focusing on lifestyle medicine, which led me to wanting to even know more of how people get sick and how we can help them by really getting to know our body and some just more tools that I could put in my toolbox that would help my patients. And so I discovered the Institute of Functional Medicine where I enrolled, and it took me 3 years. It's anywhere from 3 to 7 years. So I did the 3 years, just got it done. And in the meantime, while I would go to these different classes, I would come back, apply what I learned to whoever I saw. So my patients were kind of my guinea pigs for a while. And now I feel like I've got myself into a really good rhythm. But yes, it was probably one of the hardest programs I've ever done, in terms of just education and learning, and it was so outside the box of what I was traditionally taught. Mm-hmm. And the test was very overwhelming, as you know, from when I saw you.
What's your opinion on why other traditionally taught medical practitioners don't follow a similar path? Why aren't more people drawn to it the way that you were? I mean, that's one way to look at it. People are
right.
Drawn to it, but it just seems to make so much sense that you'd want to put that tool in your toolbox.
Absolutely.
From a very practical standpoint.
And I think anyone who gets into healthcare has this, you know, underlying compassion and wanting to heal their patients. Traditional medical schools and nursing schools and even dental, you know, schools teach a very broad kind of basis so that you can treat and care for patients. Then once you get out there, you understand that there's certain things that you're just missing because you weren't taught that, whether it's really in-depth nutrition or understanding how the environment impacts our body. And, you know, we're so connected. You can't just treat one part of the body and expect the other to be fine. So I think maybe the frustration over years of not seeing success in your patients makes you seek out other potential ways to gain that ability.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, Lynn, but we've been having that conversation about wellness. This is really a wellness conversation,
right?
And the different ways that you can come to wellness. And it just, at this point, I'm kind of like, you know, this should either be required or the free market should drive it that way. Because as you just said, frustration over not seeing success with your patients, that's a free model market. That's,
right.
You know, you try something, it doesn't work, you stop doing it, you do something else.
And I see it coming. I mean, every time I go to these kind of conferences or classes, the numbers are just growing so fast. It's really fun to see, mostly physicians, so that's always a good thing, to see that kind of wanting to expand their minds and make a change, because we know our healthcare system needs a change. We have so many chronically ill patients out there, and what we have traditionally done with just treating them with medications isn't working. We need to address their lifestyle and really see how that's impacting their health and well-being.
So you are a nurse practitioner by training, is that right? And then I also know that lots of MDs, medical doctors, will undergo the functional medicine training. So it doesn't really, does it matter where you come from in terms of your background? Who can actually take the course?
Yes, you have to be a licensed healthcare provider. So physician, PA, nurse practitioner, dietitians, dentists, they can, and chiropractors can all go through and get certified. The program, I would think, if you weren't a medical provider, would be really difficult because it's very medically based. A lot of biochemistry, just things that I never even truly understood in school. So, I mean, it's a very comprehensive program. But yeah, as long as you have a license in healthcare, then you can go and get your certification.
So describe the difference for me. It seems as though when you see a naturopathic doctor, an ND, you are seeing them and getting that same sort of experience that you would with a functional medicine practitioner, where they're looking at the whole person and the reasons behind the illness, if there is one. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to that a little bit?
They're actually, I think they're similar in the fact that they look at the whole body, the whole systems approach. They try to utilize your lifestyle foundation first before treating with anything else. They have much more in-depth training with herbs and, you know, more botanical, maybe acupuncture or, you know, energy healing, where that's not really in ours. We spend a great deal learning about supplements and nutrition and some herbals and botanicals, but really it's more functional medicine really looks at the foundation of your lifestyle. So really addressing exercise and stress and diet and sleep behaviors to see where there's an imbalance in the system, looking at your genetic background, mm-hmm. environmental, what are you exposed to, and then that whole mind-body connection. So they're similar in the sense that they're treating the whole person. It's just different learning modalities.
And isn't there a difference between treating the whole person and trying to follow whatever symptoms are expressing themselves to root cause? I mean, that's really what you're doing, right?
Right.
You're getting to the root cause
right.
of a either illness or a disruptive feeling even. I mean, if you are under stress long enough, it may manifest as something really horrible.
Right. Stress is really one of the major roots for anything that can go wrong in the body. So we do a very thorough history, really identifying things. I always ask when the last time they felt good was, so that we can kind of have a starting point.
Do you get interesting answers on that one?
Lots of interesting answers. I mean, and I think people who come and get that question asked to them really feel like they're being heard. And so, you know, listening to someone's story is half of the battle. If you can really listen, and you can learn so much just in that. And then based on those symptoms, you're trying to understand where they're coming from instead of just going, oh, well, you have some depression, let's treat that with a medication. And that's not really, you know, that's going to help, but it's not going to solve the problem. So there's a lot of moving parts, but you really do want to look at the whole thing. So when you have a symptom of headaches, you know, where is that? Is that coming from a neurological problem? Is it depression? Is it the gut, which is a huge part? Is it that they sit all day and never go outside and breathe in the fresh air? I mean, you really have to put together all of those pieces. And it makes it so much nicer for the patient to not have to give medications or do unnecessary interventions and really just create a healthy whole being.
You know, your comment about being a good listener and what you can learn from that. So I recently went to the Live Well Center for my checkup, my annual just well checkup, mm-hmm. well baby checkup. I did that. And I spent what I thought was a really unusual amount of time with Dr. Kelly Woodward, mm-hmm. where he was asking me questions and letting me speak to those questions as long as I wanted to. Lynn, you would love it.
talk.
There was a lot of me talking and him listening. And that's really a unique experience in my history of 60 years of being involved in, you know, well baby checkups.
Yes. Well, and trying to break that traditional mold too. So we try to create a an area where you can come in and it's not on a time restricted appointment, so that we don't have to just miss half of it because we know that we only have.
Well, and that's what was going through my head. I was like, how can Dr. Woodward be sitting here with me this long? Doesn't he have other patients?
And that's exactly what I experience when I see you, mm-hmm. which I do for my well baby checkups. And it's so appreciated, because also as you are talking and as I'm talking and you're listening, it also, I would assume, for the patient even helps for them to discover things about themselves that they haven't yet unfolded.
Right. Yes, I make my patients fill out a 17-page intake, which is very extensive, and I hear some complaints, but then at the same time I hear, I didn't even realize this, because there's so many questions that really dive into possible, you know, things. It's almost like a journaling before they come in. So it helps also prioritize what they're looking for mm-hmm. when they come and see me.
Do you see children?
I do.
And the reason that that pops into my head is I think about the ubiquitous ADHD diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how often you see that and what how you address it?
The root causes.
The root mm-hmm. causes. Yeah. So pretty not simple, but you look at children's diets and even their stress levels nowadays is so different. It's higher for most kids. Their diets are poor. Even here in Park City, we have to address certain areas. Sugar is such a big key factor that we want to pull out. But really, it's stress and diet. I spend a lot of time with kids when they come in just trying to help them develop healthy patterns, whether, you know, mindfulness, really becoming aware of their what's causing their stress and how to handle it, and then understanding how food affects their body. Not just you have to eat this because that's what they were told, but if you can really connect the dots and know that if you eat this, this is going to make you feel better. If you eat this, you're going to be on a roller coaster. So when it comes to stress or ADHD or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that can be really helpful.
It seems as though for example, Dr. Mark Hyman, who has come here on several occasions to speak, and he also writes books, The Blood Sugar Solution and others. But for a long time, he has been really focused on sugar is the devil.
Yes.
And what do you think about that?
I do. I totally agree. That's probably the hardest thing for me to get my patients to give up. So you can ask, I mean, all of us know, we take a bite of something that's got a lot of refined sugars, and it's just like you could eat that whole bag or box and not stop. And then you kind of feel good for, maybe you feel good if you do for a very short amount of time, and then you crash. So it's, you know, and it's in everything. So just getting people to be aware, not eating from packaged products as much, because in all of those, you have those added sugars, you have empty carbs, and those carbs get converted into sugar. But it really is such an addictive craving, and then it causes our stress hormones to just go off the roof, and you know, that can be another major root cause of so many problems.
So Heather, I'm picturing this in my mind with you seeing a child who has symptoms of ADHD, and you're asking questions to find out about this child's stress and diet, and the parent is standing there in the room, and really the child doesn't have a tremendous amount of agency, depending on age,
right.
Is eating what is provided. So that conversation with the child is really a conversation with the family and about family behavior. And now you're into family therapy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do a lot of that. I mean, that's part of when you treat kids, you're treating the whole family. You'll definitely get much better success if you get everyone in the family on board. But it's not always just from the family. I mean, kids are away from home for, you know, 8 hours a day typically, and they're on their own. So you need to create these kind of healthy behaviors from home, but it needs to be taken. And just like us, we need explanations. We need to understand why we do certain things. If someone just says, go and do this because it's healthy, it doesn't really stick. So with kids, they're very receptive if you show them and teach them and make them understand why they have to have that salad, or, you know, why they need color in their diet and they just can't have white all day long, which is easier truly to do it with kids than it is with adults who've been doing that for 30 years, where kids, they just need to understand, and they're really much more open to the change.
And then they grow up and become attorneys and tell you what to do all day long.
Inflammation and gut health, I think that the two of those I know are tied together, but inflammation is another thing we hear a lot about, mm-hmm. and how to eliminate the inflammation in our body. How do we do it?
Which again starts from your nutrition. Mm-hmm. I mean, nutrition couldn't be, you know, less discussed and thought of as the most important part of our healthy lifestyle practice. So yes, trying to incorporate color. Color is so key. Reducing processed foods and sugar. Sugar is so inflammatory. And really, the more fresh and raw vegetables that we can put into our diet to feed that healthy microbiome. So, you know, we have all these really good bacteria in our guts, and we need to keep them healthy. And in order to do that, we need to feed them foods like the green smoothies or healthy salads, and, you know, minimize alcohol, minimize coffee, drink more water, relax. If we're in a chronic state of stress all the time, it's really hard for our bodies to just be open to healing. So, you know, taking big, deep breaths before we eat is so important, because it just opens up those pathways for us to absorb and use those nutrients. Inflammation is key. I'm actually about to do a lecture on the microbiome just after this. This is my favorite area of the body. If we can heal the gut, we can heal so many parts of everything else.
This has healed my gut. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even know.
You've been doing this for a long time.
Over 5 years.
Yeah.
Every day. I miss 20 to 30 days, depending on travel and vacation and things. I'm not a complete fanatic, but I used to be. But that's the thing, that if I were to draw it all back to the benefits from drinking this green smoothie every day, it is that it healed my microbiome gut, and I didn't even know it needed healing. And now I do. Now
right.
I'm like, wow, everything else stemmed from that.
Right. And I almost always start with the gut. No matter what the complaint is when we come in, we look at the gut. I might put patients on an elimination diet to really pull out those potential inflammatory foods. Because we, you know, unless it's an allergy where you have an immediate reaction, you could be eating something that's just kind of, you know, stabbing you on the side for years and years and eventually causes a problem. And it could be a healthy food, just one that your body does not break down or use, or, you know, it's a trigger. So those two things, the elimination diet and really understanding a person's microbiome, is the best way to start. And a lot of times all you need to do, because in that process, they are eating better, they're working on mindfulness, they're exercising, they're doing all of these things just for what they think is the gut, but it's really connecting the whole body. So it can be as simple as that. It takes a long time. It's not something that you can do overnight, but it does take the person to make that change. We can only give them so much information and the tools and the encouragement and all of this, but they have to do that change.
Unless you're a child and your parents tell you, you have to do it.
And that doesn't always work, as we know.
What is your definition of the microbiome?
The microbiome. So it's just your gut is full of good and bad bacteria. We have over 1,000 species, different species in our gut, and it's responsible for everything, brain health, cellular health, immune function, hormone balance, which is such a big topic these days. But when we eat a standard American diet, which is very low in fiber, high in simple carbs and refined sugars, we just miss feeding all of those really healthy bacteria in yeast and even parasites. We have healthy armies that all have different functions. So if we starve them by not feeding them their nourishment, then we become dysbiotic, which just means we have an imbalance of bacteria. So our bad is outweighing our good. And then we can see things like more autoimmune disorders and mental health problems and obviously GI issues and fatigue. I mean, everything really comes from there. So creating that balance is hard. There's supplements that you can take, but they're not really the only thing. It's really just incorporating a new healthy lifestyle.
Is it the microbiome that's called the unnamed organ? Is that it? I've heard something is, and I thought it was either the GI tract or the microbiome.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's like this organ. It's at this, you know, kind of performs functions like other organs, and yet it's not recognized as an organ, but that is shifting.
Yes, the gut is becoming the center for everything. I mean, everything comes from there. It's a very unique area in our body, and it's so big. It's really so big, and it controls so much. So we need to pay more attention to it. Like, listen to your gut. When you have that gut feeling, there's something going on.
It's truly your gut.
Yes.
How do you like to now that you're certified? How do you describe yourself? I had a hard time coming up. You're a nurse practitioner who practices functional medicine, but what are those little initials after your name?
So they really haven't changed. I'm still a family nurse practitioner who's now board certified and certified in functional medicine. I think for most, it's just educating the public on what it is. Right. It has definitely put me out into a whole new area of, you know, just connections. I'm getting people calling saying, oh, I saw you here. I hear you're doing this. So just that term puts that next to my name. And functional medicine is kind of a trendy hot topic right now because people are desperate to find something in healthcare that's going to make them feel better. So it's been really interesting just to see that.
I feel so sorry for those people that are suffering from traditional medicine, but I feel so good, Heather, that you and the Live Well Center are performing and practicing the way that you are.
Absolutely. Heather Darling, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
And you can find Heather at the Live Well Center at the Park City Hospital. And where are you going to talk after this, the microbiome? Deer Valley. So people just have you come and they host you for
They have a little lunch and learn for their employees. And so it's my turn to go talk about functional medicine. And I chose the microbiome as the topic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Nice
to see you.
You too.
Let's thank our underwriters.
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Valley Behavioral Health, Park Meadows Country Club, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, and Park City Mountain.
And you're listening to KPCW Park City. Thanks for tuning in.